Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Pixels, a podcast for the discerning gamer. Hello everyone, and welcome to Pixels. This is a show where we talk about the gaming news from the past couple of weeks. We cover PC, consoles, industry, mobile, everything that is important for you to know. My name is Patrick Beja, and today we have a special show for you. We have Scott Johnson joining us. How is it going, Mr. Johnson?
I'm so good, Mr. Beja. Thank you for having me on your show where we call each other by our last names. I really enjoy it.
You know, I try to be a little bit more distinguished nowadays to show the listeners how much we value them. That is exactly what we're doing here.
Very nice.
So I was saying we're going to have a kind of a different special kind of show today. It's Gamescom, and there's some things, honestly, I'm a little bit disappointed by what's been happening at Gamescom. But there are some little bits of news, and then we timed it so that in about half an hour, more or less, there's going to be the Blizzard Gamescom stream that's going to start. There should have a couple of things revealed there. And we're going to be doing the second part of the show during that with a live commentary similar to what we usually do during E3. So, and since we're giant Blizzard nerds, that should be fun for us. So, first part is going to be about half an hour about the Gamescom news so far, and then Blizzard live commentary thing. Hopefully you enjoy that. Are you looking forward to this episode, Scott Johnson?
I am really looking forward to this episode. In fact, it's funny, you said earlier that you've been slightly disappointed in Gamescom overall up to this point, and I am with you on that. I agree. So I have high hopes that Blizzard's bit will be my highlight, which is exciting because I love Blizzard and they're my favorite video game company ever. And the idea that maybe they'll salvage this for me is intriguing. So I'm hoping that's true.
They've announced a bunch of things already, little things for each game. They have a reveal, which might or might not be just the new computer graphics in a short movie that they have already said they would be showcasing. So we'll see if they have more than that. I doubt it, but we'll see. But until then, let's dive into what happened this week at Gamescom, starting with the Microsoft, how do I call it, like live stream? It wasn't a press conference.
No.
It was a live stream, and I have stuff to say about it. But first, Scott, what did you think? Did you watch it? Did you have
impressions? I saw a bunch of it. Let's just say I'm a little bummed. I'm actually very bummed about what Microsoft showed. I think that there's a couple of things of interest. For example, I think Jurassic World Evolution looks super interesting, which we can talk about in more detail if you want. But other than that, it was either stuff we knew was coming, things that have been a long time coming, or things missing that we were hoping would be coming. Like, for example, Crackdown 3 being delayed. That was a huge bummer. So if I'm going to lock down what my favorite thing of the Microsoft conference, it wasn't, hey, pre-orders for Xbox One X, or hey, guess what, that ReCore game no one kind of liked is coming back in a definitive edition version and who knows if you like that one. That's not interesting to me. What was interesting to me is that they are making an Age of Empires 4, that it's coming to PC, and that Relic is making it. So of everything I saw here, it's the Age of Empires 4 announcement that has me the most excited.
Which technically wasn't announced during that conference. They were strongly hinting at it, but it was announced like a couple of hours later, I think. I'm kind of with you on that. It was disappointing. I think, first of all, in form-wise, it wasn't a press conference at all. It was, I felt like it could have been a Nintendo Direct type of thing, which we all kind of got used to and has some charm now after having, you know, for the first couple of times it was weird. Now we kind of like it. But this felt more like a Nintendo Treehouse thing where, you know, it was three people on a couch and people were, you know, developers were coming one after the other to show their game, which most of them, if not all of them, are multi-platform. So what they ended up doing was presenting the game, and then the Microsoft representatives were like, oh yeah, and it plays really well with the immense power of the Xbox One X, which can render things in 4K, right? And they were they would go like, oh yeah, yeah, they, like, it's Xbox One X, awesome, like, we can read it. Like, you could feel the PR person writing the phrases that they would regurgitate, like, thanks to the power of the Xbox One X, we can achieve 60 frames per second on even in 4K. And it's like, it's true, it's cool, but the way it was presented made it a little bit less palatable to me. It felt, here's what it felt like. It felt like those PC gaming conferences at E3, which I think we all have a sore spot in our hearts for.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, what I wanted out of that was every possible compelling reason to get an Xbox One X. At E3, it was really just announcement. Here's the real name. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's what it's capable of. The opportunity here was to say, guys, we're really close. You can pre-order really soon. And guess what? When it hits, all of these cool things are going to happen. You're going to get all these rad games, and you're going to change your life in all of these great ways, and not just simple PR speak. And what we got was simple PR speak, and it really bummed me out. So I don't know what that, you know, foretells for the console, except that I'm in no more rush to get that than I was before. And I'd really hope they'd give me a reason now, but they really didn't. Well, Crackdown 3 was maybe my only reason, and Crackdown 3 ain't coming now. So
yeah, there it's been delayed to 2018. And the, I mean, Age of Empires is coming to PC. It's a PC game. So, but Relic is behind it. That's interesting. But getting back to the Xbox, they did announce over 100 games optimized, enhanced for Xbox One X. So that's kind of cool. There's a weird Project Scorpio limited edition, which, I don't know, you know, when the console comes out, I can understand you want a limited edition, but the Xbox One X, like, is there anyone actually rushing to get the Xbox One X limited? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be the same price. It's fine. I think I concluded that for some people who want a really powerful machine, like a PC-grade powerful machine, and playing it from the comfort of their couch, this is probably the machine to get, because it's, you know, $500. It's much cheaper, like 3 to 4 times cheaper than the equivalent PC you would need to put together to get that kind of performance. So, but that's basically it. And I don't think there's a lot of people who are going to be excited for this. And we did get a lot of, like, things we had already seen, Assassin's Creed's Origin, that weird ReCore Definitive Edition you mentioned, some Kinect games, of all things, that you can control them by controller, but I guess Kinect's not completely dead. The corpse is still moving. you know, there was Forza Motorsport 7, World of Tanks, okay. Sea of Thieves, still don't know what that game is. Insiders, Xbox Insiders can play the game, so, and it's not whatever. Shadow of War still looks cool, but multi-platform. Cuphead, has a release date, September 29th. That you must be excited about, right?
Oh, I'm very excited. I've been excited since they teased that thing at, what, was it 2013's E3? It's been a very long time since they originally shown that.
It's changed a lot, though. I mean, we finally understand why it's been delayed so much. It switched from a bus rush game to a full-fledged, like, run-and-gun, shoot-them-up, full game experience. It's not just a bus rush, so that, you know, that is finally the explanation why it's been delayed so much.
Yeah, which I'm super into. I want that game real bad, but I think I'm just going to get it on Steam. I mean, again, it's not a motivating factor.
It's coming on
factor.
Steam as well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not, there's just not a huge motivating factor for me to go, oh, guess what? I'm going to rush out and get an Xbox One for this rad indie title I've had my eye on for so long. the fact that they're at least going to PC for a secondary platform. Again, I don't have another reason to go get an Xbox One X. And I hate being down on that thing. I want the Xbox One X to be rad. I want to be excited about it. I don't want to be a poo-poo head.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me, given the lack of motivation. Yeah, I do too. But yeah. It's, you know, I want them to do great with this, guys. This is not a thing where I'm not rooting against Microsoft. If anything, it's the opposite. I want them to do really well with this.
Well, I think it's just as, you know, it's kind of equivalent to the PlayStation 4 Pro in that it's less powerful, significantly. I mean, it's more powerful, significantly more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro, but then the PlayStation 4 Pro has more exclusive games. So, I mean, no one gets PlayStation 4 Pros anyway, unless you have a 4K TV. But right. There's Surviving Mars, which looks kind of cool. It's a game by Paradox, the guys behind Cities Skyline, which is a weird like strategy city builder thing on Mars, and it's got a weird twist to it, like the way it's presented is kind of funny. Yeah, but that's about it, right? You did mention Jurassic World Evolution, which is coming out in a year. That did look kind of cool. Anything else even Jurassic World?
I mean, that looks interesting because there's just a ton of potential there. I like roller coaster tycoon style games. I like games where I build stuff and have people come use my stuff and make money on my stuff. And I like tycoon games. They're generally speaking a genre I can get my head around. The idea of raising dinosaurs, and in theory, the game would probably feature things like, I don't know how you're going to capture your dinosaurs or what happens if one gets loose, but I'm sure the game will support disaster control and that sort of stuff. There are a lot of really neat ideas that are in my imagination. Whether or not the game matches that, I mean, who knows, but it does. That looks like fun to me. So, I'm way in on that one. The only other one that is, of some interest to me is already multi-platform. And that's of course, Shadow of War. I'm a little worried about the microtransaction stuff, which, you know, is a thing for a different show probably, but very much looking forward to that game. So, I mean, yeah, it's nice. Oh, and Origins looks nice. Like, I want that Assassin's Creed game. It almost looks like they're making Black Flag 2 in a lot of ways, gameplay wise, which is really exciting to me. And again, I can get that in two other places. So I wish I was more excited. If Crackdown 3 was part of this demonstration and they were on track, I would at least say, oh, well, there's one of my reasons. That open world game's fun. I'm looking forward to that, but it's just not there.
Shadow of War, I have to say I'm getting a tiny bit nervous. Just a tiny bit. Like, I loved the first one. I'm starting to think this one doesn't bring... I don't know. There's been so many games since then and so many games to play. The first one was awesome in an environment where there wasn't that much competition. And I'm not sure how much the second one is going to step up the game to compete with everything else that's coming out. But it's a tiny worry. I mean, we'll see. And Assassin's Creed Origin, I'm not as excited about. But we'll see. All right. Well, that's it for... I don't think there's much more to add, except, you know, you can do stuff on Mixer. Mixer is awesome. It's a great thing for Microsoft... Xbox streaming, they pushed Mixer so much. And PC, they pushed PC a lot as well, which is great. But anyway, all right, that was Microsoft. EA as well, a little bit. There wasn't anything new announced. I mean, yes, there were expansions for The Sims 4. You can get customizable dogs and cats.
Finally.
They looked... you know, surprisingly cute. I think if I was in The Sims and playing Sims 4, I would be quite excited about those things. It was like, you know, it's the Tamagotchi type thing. You have your little pet in the little pet world. Mm-hmm. And it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One, by the way. Sims Mobile as well.
I have a theory, by the way, that those games we're just about done making those for consoles. I think that mobile is where this stuff sort of belongs, and I'm a little surprised that they're pushing that stuff on consoles. But whatever, that's a big name, you know, probably will sell a bunch, but mobile's where it's at, in my opinion.
So you're not going to be rushing to create your customizable dog in Sims 4, is my understanding.
No, I think I'm more interested in there are two other dogs in video games I like more. I like the dog in Fallout 4, and I like the dog in the Mad Max open world game. Those are cool dogs.
Ah, you've been getting back into that one.
I don't know what my problem is right now, but I am so back into that Mad Max game. It is way underrated. I know I'm already biased toward the property, but man, what a cool freaking game. It's really well done. If you like open world games, it's got everything you want in there, plus this rad world, and it's super good. So, hey, flashback, everybody. 2015, go get it. Mad Max, Avalanche Studios, available now on whatever platform you own.
All right. news from a few years ago. Battlefront 2 has ship-to-ship combat, and it looks pretty rad. Battlefield 1 is getting more new content. That's kind of incredible. I mean, they're getting a new 5v5 competitive mode. They're getting... Anyway, Battlefield 1 is still on the radar. Battlefront 2, as I was saying, has ship-to-ship combat. Looks cool as well. A little bit difficult to control, maybe. But, yeah, Battlefront 2 looks good, too.
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited about Battlefront 2. Why not? I mean, you know, it is what it is. That game has a lot to prove, though, because the last one was, you know, a little simple. I think I like what I see so far, but I'm not going to bet the farm yet. I need to see what they, you know, if they can pull that off. And I think they maybe can, but I'm excited about it. Sure. Why not?
Okay. Fair enough. What else? What else? Ooh, we got a teaser for Shenmue 3. And maybe you didn't see that one. And
I did watch that. I watched a bit of it. It looks like Shenmue 2 in terms of gameplay. Didn't you think?
It looks like Shenmue 2 in terms of, yeah, gameplay. And from what I remember, I'm sure my memory is skewed, but like graphics-wise as well, it certainly doesn't look like a current generation game. And one of the things that people harped on was the facial animation, of which there was none, especially for Ryo, the main character. It looks weird because his face is literally stuck in one, like it doesn't move at all. And it's like apparently Yu Suzuki, the director of the game, decided to remove the facial animations from that trailer a month ago. And that was like, why? Probably because it wasn't looking very good, which is fine. The game is not coming out for another, you know, for a while, but... we're seeing so little of that game, and the little we're seeing looks really disappointing. Honestly, I was never expecting anything great from that thing, but they continue to disappoint, I would say.
Fair assessment. I'm not. I'm bummed about that so far, anyway. I mean, when was the last time, though, that we were completely, hopelessly stoked about a Kickstarter fulfilling its potential after being the biggest Kickstarter? You know what I mean? Because right now it has the record of the biggest video game Kickstarter of all time. And before that, it was that Tim Schafer game. I forgot the name of it.
Oh, the Double Fine. The
adventure game. How can anything live up to those two expectations? I don't think that it's actually possible. The best Kickstarter games I've seen come out are ones that no one talks about. Are ones that they just quietly came along and said, hey, we're Grim Dawn. Here's our rad idea. We used to work on some cool games like Diablo and Titan Quest, and now here's our new action RPG. And then that game turned out really great and fulfilled everything they promised and still upkeep their game and have an expansion plan. Like, no one talks about those guys because they had moderate success. So I'm always wary of the ones that do millions and millions of dollars because I just don't know how they live up to it.
Well, that's the problem is you make so much money on the Kickstarter. It feels like a lot of money, but to create a like real AAA game, it's never enough. And but the thing is, even with all this, I think Shenmue 3 has been disappointing. Even with all this, because it's not, you know, I mean, anyway, we're not going to make the Shenmue 3 show, but yeah, that was a not great thing. ARMS is getting a new fighter. That's exciting, right?
Yeah, some weird deal. I like ARMS. ARMS is okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, for what it is, it's okay. It's not...
I'd say it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. You kind of said it the way I kind of mean it. It's fine. And look, Nintendo is not a company. They're usually like, make a game, publish it, walk away. So whenever they start to take on the role of make a game, support it over the long haul, add new characters, add new weapons, give people free new updates, fix bugs, that kind of stuff, that is something to sell. I'm going to give them too hard of a time for that, because I'm happy that they are not being very Nintendo-like and are actually updating their products. So
yeah, that's true.
I'll take that. That's even though the game's fine.
No, I honestly think that's the case. But yeah, you're right. You're right. They usually they seem to be taking the Splatoon approach to ARMS, and that's great for fans of ARMS. Mm-hmm. One game that's been really lighting up the world of video games is Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Fighter Z, and they showed a new trailer with the androids from like the C 15, 16, 17, and that game looks so cool. It's coming out next February. There is apparently a part of the story which is the Dragon Ball nerd incoming here. Sorry, but the part where the you know, the androids come back from the future, and then the alternate timeline that led to those androids being the masters of the Earth is going to be explored in that game, which is super fun for a geeky Dragon Ball Fighter Z, Dragon Ball Z nerd like me. But yeah, it still looks awesome. There are lots of fighters. It looks great.
Yeah, I don't have the love for that world as you do, obviously. To me, it was just a big loud mess. So whatever, if this is good, great. I think that game looks really cool. They've somehow made it look like the anime, which is very impressive, even as it plays, not just as it, you know, tells story or whatever. And I guess that's exciting, but man, that world, what are they doing? Just yelling at each other and flying across the
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there, Scott. You do not insult Dragon Ball Z.
With those eyes. Their eyes are all weird and square, and their heads are too big for their bodies, and it's just weird.
Old man Johnson. BioShock, 10 years old. First of all, 10 years old, BioShock? Jeez.
Yeah.
$200 anniversary edition. Surely you're going to rush and get that thing, right?
No, I'm not, but I've enjoyed every BioShock game I ever played. That includes all three games, by the way, plus all their DLC. The only thing it doesn't have is the multiplayer that 2 had. But outside of that, these are all kind of remastered older ones. And then of course, Infinite's still pretty much a relatively current technology game. I think that if you're really into that, it might be worth it alone just for the little, statue thing. That they give with it, the little 10-inch thing. That's pretty cool, of a little sister and a big brother deal. Not big brother. What do they call it? Big Daddy?
Big Daddy, yeah.
Yeah, so that might be worth it, but you'd have to be a hardcore fan. What freaks me out more is that 10 years ago that game came out. That is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Crazy.
The Super NES Classic is going to have a built-in like rewind and save state feature where basically you're going to be able to save in your games even though you couldn't whenever they came out in the 80s and 90s. That's okay. Still don't want a Super NES Classic myself, but
I do. I want one, but I'm not going to kill myself to get one. So if one presents itself and makes sense.
If someone shows up at your door and goes like, Scott, here's a Super NES Classic. Do you want it? You'll say yes.
That or if, you know, Nintendo just did normal things like put them on shelves so that their stock was good and I could just get one. That'd be cool. Mm. Like that'd be fine. I don't, this mad rush to kill each other to get one and then have them on eBay for way too much money. Like F that. I'm not interested in any of that noise.
Okay. That's fair enough. I also, I'm in that boat.
Yeah.
Couple of other things that we've seen. I mean, just to be clear, there are lots of things happening at Gamescom. Lots of little games being presented, lots of new stuff. It's just that it's not there's not a lot of major things happening. And so we're not going to be covering everything, because if we start going into the small games that look kind of interesting, we're going to be here for 15 hours. But there's some, a couple of extra things maybe I did want to mention. Call of Duty World War II has a headquarters like social hub type of feature, which is weird. But yeah, you're going to be able to have a social hub in Call of Duty, and you can do stuff like there are little one-on-one fights, you can train and target practice, and it's just, we don't have a lot of information, but that's what it looks like, and it looks weird.
Yeah, I'm actually excited. I want to make it clear that I'm actually excited about a Call of Duty game, and I haven't been for a very long time, so I'm ready for World War II. Let's do it. I want to come save your ass one more time. That's what I want to do.
That is fair enough. And then there's this My Memory of Us game, which is also kind of weird. It's like a very indie, black and white and red, almost like Inside slash... what was that other game? Limbo.
That one. Limbo.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, Limbo Inside kind of thing. Between that and... This War of Mine. Yeah,
This War of Mine. Yeah.
Like, it's a weird little thing that is probably going to make some indie game lovers' head spin. So I didn't want to mention that. If you haven't checked it out, it's called My Memory of Us. It looks really cool. Any other game you looked at and thought that could be kind of fun?
No, I guess I'm a little bit excited about, I realize they're not going to do much with it at Gamescom, but they did at the International. And so it's still on my mind. So I'm just going to mention it, but that Dota 2 card game, kind of interested to see what Valve does with a competition to Hearthstone, which is really what everyone sees these things as until we actually get them to see whether or not they're supposed to scratch the same itches or not. But of everything I've heard this week, two things jump at me, that and the Vive getting cheaper. Outside of that, not a lot, like, been a little weak in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's I think that's about everything that we can talk about from Gamescom, unless again we have very specific stuff that we personally enjoy. So it might be time already to get to the Blizzard thing. We're watching live. I'm gonna try and do. I see if it works. You're saying you're not sending me the audio from.
Yeah, you're not gonna hear audio at all.
Okay, so I just realized that means I have to take the audio from the thing myself. I'm gonna try and fiddle with my software. And I'm going to see if I can make it work. So I'm going to go away for a second, not for you, Scott, but for the audience, and I'll be right back.
Relatively, we're back. Synced. Yeah. Oh, they're on stage.
Ooh, and they're on stage. So now, hopefully...
Greetings, everyone!
Yeah, I think we're getting the
thank you all very much for joining us here today.
Here's Hearthstone Man.
Speaking for the whole of the Hearthstone team.
So, just to explain a little bit of what's been happening for Blizzard at Gamescom, they've announced a couple of things. The new hero for Heroes of the Storm, Kel'Thuzad, and a new map for Overwatch, that map being Junkertown, which makes Scott incredibly excited because he loves everything that it has to do with... Mad Max type things.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic dirt, whatever, awful, decrepit town called Junker Town is so up my alley, it almost hurts. So they did a little video for it. That was awesome. The look of it is great. Everything about it is great. I can't wait to play that. But I also, you mentioned Kel'Thuzad briefly. We on the Core podcast have a pretty good theory that today we'll get another announcement outside of Kel'Thuzad. Probably a map, probably a theme, some sort of Warcraft theme that would involve daily quests and things like that, like they've done in the past with StarCraft and Diablo.
A kind of event, basically. like there has been with the
Exactly. What the players will do, who knows? But this is a place where they like to announce those things, so I'm pretty jazzed about that.
So now we have Jason Hayes from the Hearthstone team, who's talking about stuff. We'll see what he announces. The Junkertown short, by the way, directed by Taryn Gregory. The first one he actually directed, which is very exciting. Well, for him, I guess, and for us, because we've been following his career since his Machinima from his WoW days, which was called The Return. And he interrupted the return, the directing of The Return to go work for Blizzard. And that was a tragedy back in the day for me, because I was so, expecting the initial thing. So anyway, I just wanted to do a little bit of a shout out to
Taryn's awesome. He's a big friend of the instance and Frog Pants stuff. He's an awesome guy. Very creative, really, really responsive when you ask him questions. Absolutely worth cornering at BlizzCon and talking to him about the rad work they're doing. But every time those guys take it like in engine tools and make something out of it, I'm always blown away and impressed. And Junkertown's no different. That little intro video was really, really good. Well made.
So that was okay.
Question to you while we listen to Hearthstone Man talk.
Will you claim victory?
Oh,
I think they're yeah. Go ahead.
Was I going to say? The queen, the junk queen, or whatever her name is that they refer to for that new map. Do you think that's a hint of character at some point
later this year?
Whoever she is, because I'm into that Mad Max queen.
Possible. Yeah, that would be cool. That is definitely possible. It's also possible it's just a character in the background, but yeah, that would be fun.
I think she's going to narrate the map. It's going to be get on the payload, hurry up, you guys, whatever.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, because she's the one being attacked, basically, or deceived by that payload. So
the best of the best.
I don't know.
Good point.
They're going to be competing here.
Good point.
Did you see what they're doing with the? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Did you see what they're doing with the fireside gathering for Hearthstone at Gamescom? Like the live fireside gathering, not a quest, but brawl?
No. What are they doing?
Basically, you have everyone who connects to Hearthstone at Gamescom live there can engage in a very special brawl where you fight the Lich King, who has a million HP. So you just do as much as you can, and you get a ranking after you die. But then, everyone has to band together to try and defeat the Lich King. And those are going to be available for what they're making a big push for Fireside Gathering, which are basically getting together and playing Hearthstone with friends live.
That's going to be intriguing. And really speaks to the core.
So what is he announcing? Is all
about. He's going to about announce something here.
This is the story.
A story.
A girl.
Oh, this is that video we've been hearing about.
Alone. She's lost.
Let's see.
She's cold, and she's trying desperately to make her way home.
So the way someone described this to me was, this is Blizzard's attempt to make it so moms want to play this game.
Okay.
There's
a kind of a short movie?
Yeah, it's a new cinematic, and it's a real one, not some in-game. Well, there is no in-game engine to make it in Hearthstone, but so we're good to see this for the first time.
It's a full CG.
Yeah.
So who has been describing this to you?
I can't say without getting them in trouble. I would love to say, but I cannot. This is the real business here.
Yeah, it looks so Pixar-y.
Oh, big time Pixar. Now, this is probably that tech they talked about at BlizzCon where they showed the Varian versus Ragnaros deal. Because that would make sense to me. They're pumping this stuff out a little quicker, and this also has the look of that to me. More Pixar or whatever. That's how mine showed
the
up.
Mouse,
it just appeared in the
snow. The mouse just somehow makes the Hearthstone box appear in the middle of the snow, and everything slows down.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
It looks amazing. I don't know how much it, like, you're lost in the woods in the snow, so you play Hearthstone? Like, what does it...
Hardcores aren't going to like this, because they're going to think this is the location of their favorite.
Oh, she's kind of teleported into the Hearthstone Tavern. It's like, even if you're lonely and sad...
My turn. Time for you to graze.
I don't know why they decided to put...
You can always find friends and have fun together.
Oh, welcome.
Oh, is that
come
him?
Warm your frozen boots by the fire.
Oh,
come
that
warm
like?
Your frozen boots by the fire.
Where am I?
Where are you? Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
All these goblins are awesome.
Where are you?
Dude, I want these goblins on their own show.
Well, there's a place, and there's a time.
Well met.
When the magic of the board becomes alive.
What next?
And you'll have all that you can do just to survive. Before an orc or ogre tries to take your hide.
I'm not ready.
But fear not, don't you know? A hero lies inside of you. In time, you'll see it's true. From taverns here in Azeroth to inns in distant lands far off, stone brew or spin a tale or two.
So send your cares and just relax.
Here, have a seat.
Don't you fret about the monster with the axe.
You
need some cards. Come follow me.
Time to compete.
Wait, so that and you will bring him to his knees.
You're not sure just where you are.
No, it's just
make
another
it clear for you.
There's no.
This is like, a place that magic has graced
and is
calling out for you.
Take a play, Hearthstone.
Where big or small, it doesn't matter. The tavern's always filled with laughter.
And firesides where heroes gather.
Hearthstone is home.
Where fights are fair, no stolen banyans.
Like, this isn't for
the young at heart
and a few curmudgeons.
No, I think it's for it.
So sheath your sword and prep your deck.
I think he's gonna
summon creatures.
I think it's for the few people who haven't already tried Hearthstone. Look, imagine you're someone who kind of knows of mobile games and you've played a few and you're, or even you haven't, and you see this, you're like, oh, maybe I'm gonna try this thing out. Even if you've never played the game.
Actually, it's legendary.
Oh my gosh, dude.
He looks like Russell Brower.
And it
does
the look like Brower.
The tavern's always on its center.
You'll get it.
For the team of wits are really clever.
Oh, this is so Disney.
I think he's really gonna smite you.
I mean, I kind of like it, so I'm not gonna
fight you.
Oh, that's not a poo-poo lady.
You must think really quick.
The rope is lit.
Make him submit.
Commit to it.
The time is right now.
Play your card, play your card.
Is he gonna
cry? No, he's an orc.
Play nice.
Alright,
very nice.
He's also long.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. So, because it's long, where will this... I mean, it's just for the internet?
Yeah, of course. It's for the internet.
Every
it's not.
I
it's going to be on YouTube and,
my
you know,
soul.
Wherever.
My kids are going to love that.
It's. I think it opens... It's definitely not something that you usually see in gaming. And that's why
now
it's...
This short.
It's...
More than any that we've ever done.
You know, aimed
really
at people that are not...
Hearthstone is all about.
Right.
Already invested gamers,
going to the
I think.
Innkeeper's Tavern. To feel a little bit like
I still
home.
Hold out hope that Heroes
Walk
of the Storm
in,
character coming up will be that innkeeper dude or somebody like that. I want some Hearthstone originality.
Surrounded by games and by
yeah,
laughter.
That would be interesting.
We
have another hour or so to go. So there could be a bunch of things.
So with that,
oh yeah, there's plenty to come, I'm sure.
We are excited to introduce you to that girl who stumbled her way into the innkeeper's tavern. Her name is Ava. And okay. Let's clap for Ava.
Oh no, don't make him clap for Ava.
Why not?
Sometimes they do this stuff on stage and it gets a little weird. Like, yeah, like try to create.
Now, Ava's surrounded by a cast of whimsical characters that come from all walks of life.
Are those going to be collectibles?
Today was just your first peek at them. And we're very excited to announce that we have a new series. Shorts and comics coming out that'll be featuring this cast in the months to come.
Okay, I'm into that.
There are many more stories to tell. And already hard at work.
Those two little goblins are on top of each other? They're my new totem in life.
They're creating, they're creating like actual lore around the game.
Heroes of the Storm. Yeah.
Okay, now it's Heroes time. But that's the most interesting thing. They're creating, I mean, it's probably about time, but they're creating like, you know, actual lore and stories to be told to promote the thing.
Yeah,
which is
Alan DeBiri,
given how
the
much money they've been making. I suspect it's you know, they want to keep expanding the player base, and now they have to go mainstream to keep expanding it, because everyone who's ever heard about a video game has probably tried Hearthstone by now.
I think you're right. I know hardcores are going to whine, but I say bravo. I think it's great.
Well, I mean, honestly, why would you whine about it? It's like, Hearthstone has never been a super hardcore game at its core anyway. There are lots of hardcore players who play it, but it's pretty openly a game for everyone. Right?
Gee, Patrick, I can't imagine gamers ever taking a position that they're cooler than someone else and someone else is ruining their hobby. I can't imagine that.
That's
just crazy.
That's fair enough.
But that being said, I agree with you. There should be no reason, and I want more of that kind of stuff. I like it. It's I don't know. It's heartwarming and fun, and
yeah, it's cute.
It made me want to play. That made me want to play more Hearthstone. I'm not even that into Hearthstone, so
yeah. Kel'Thuzad is the Lich King's most trusted. So Kel'Thuzad, that's not a video we've already seen, right? That's another. Cult
of the Dead. No, this is the first.
This is the actual gameplay video. Slain in his
master's service, yeah, this is the kit description and all that,
right?
And given I don't think they put out yet. Citadel, yeah, they haven't done this yet, so. Despite the efforts of the Azerothian heroes, gosh, look at that old art. The Lich doesn't die easily. That's
such
crazy.
Such power is inevitably drawn into the Nexus.
Hey, do you know that this animated thing they did? Kel'Thuzad has been biding his time within the Nexus, the guy who did, planning and Aeon preparing Flux. Instead that of show?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Cartoon? Working yeah, secret, Peter Chung did this. The Lich Lord recruited and I assume and he did the Overwatch one. Heroes to bring because it's almost identical in terms of style. This time,
it kind of looks somewhat comparable. I wouldn't say identical. Alright, so let's see what Kel'Thuzad is. And it seems they're leaving the Kel'Thuzad is a ranged burst mage Overwatch that locks down enemies and devastates
them with a powerful combination of spells. I still doubt we're going to get Kel'Thuzad's
Master of the Cold Dark trait is a baseline quest that increases his power as
so
it's completed.
He's got his quest
whenever he roots an enemy
right
with Frost Nova or hits them with his chain,
his
blight level increases. Once the first crystal has lit up, Kel'Thuzad's ability cooldowns are significantly reduced. And when he's reached the maximum blight level,
you try to get
his spell power increases dramatically.
I don't know if you've played with
Death and Decay is Kel'Thuzad's first basic ability.
But
after a delay, he launches an orb of death that damages the first enemy it hits, detonating and leaving an area of decay that deals damage over time.
He's an assassin.
Due to its wind-up, Death and Decay benefits from roots and slows or being fired from a hidden position. Frost Nova is Kel'Thuzad's first crowd control spell. When cast, a circle of runes appears and after a moment explodes, dealing damage to enemies.
Oh no, this is the one with the chain, never mind.
Depending on an enemy's proximity to its
epicenter,
the explosion has two different effects. Enemies along the edge are slowed, while those in the middle are rooted.
It's getting kind of complex. I mean, this has two different radiuses, radii.
Oh, that's true in a lot of characters, though. There's all kinds of... I mean...
For a few seconds, Kel'Thuzad can send
like
out
a donut,
second chain
so you only get frozen on the outside.
If the second chain links two heroes, they are pulled towards each other and stunned.
Oh, that's awesome.
If the second chain links a structure and a hero's
this is not an easy character to play.
No, no, no. I think there's going to be... Actually, I think his difficulty is actually in his trait, because you're always trying to maintain these high levels to get the most out of him.
When activated, he manifests a meteor of ice and chain that pursues its target no matter how far they run.
Oh, this is like a frost bomb.
Upon contact, it deals damage and roots the target and any enemies nearby. The area indicator around the initial target shows the exact radius of the effect, forcing his enemies to either move
or be
frozen in place.
Rad. Shadow Fissure is a more direct source of damage.
Like in the next Rammus raid, Kel'Thuzad summons a fissure that crackles and explodes, dealing damage to anyone inside.
I want my skeletons not dresses.
The ability is global.
Skeleton
so
King does not approve.
Anywhere he has vision. The enemy thinks they can simply step to the side, Kel'Thuzad has more than enough tricks to prove them.
Yeah, so he has a ton of crowd control. Right, yeah, that's not going to be a character for me, though. I'm not good enough to play like that.
Power relies on your ability.
The character I am playing a ton of right now, to the point of ridiculousness, is Stukov. This is just my man right now. I freaking love him.
But it also grants a
the latest one.
Well, Garrosh is the latest, but yeah, pretty close.
Oh, really? Was Garrosh after
setup and execution,
yeah.
So he excels against heroes.
Stukov's
he
amazing.
Outdistance. Watch out for foes.
So much fun to play.
For the kill.
It's kind of all I want
to
play right now.
Need to root and chain heroes.
Whoa, his death is cool.
His traits quest much faster on smaller maps like Tomb of the Spider Queen than on more spread out maps like Warhead.
Yeah,
Junction.
See, these are the I don't like quest traits
the
where
Phylactery of Kel'Thuzad talent can be activated
where maps determine so much of how well I can do.
If the quest is completed.
Oh wait,
however,
he can respawn
can
immediately.
Choose to wait and preserve its
yeah,
passive
it's resurrection, basically. And as long as he can keep those numbers up, he gets resurrection. They called it
You
didn't say the name in this, because it sounds like prophylactic.
Use this to set up an
it's a weird word.
Oh, let's call it prophylactic.
Exploding pillar of ice.
Oh, I really like that chain thing. That's an awesome thing.
Enemies who die under the effects of frost blast to emit another blast.
I wish I had time to play Heroes as well. Too many games.
Finally, the damned return
played in a few months.
To summon a shade that casts death and decay.
Game's just gotten better and better and better. It's just every time I play, there's something cool going on.
No, I agree. Every time I play, I like it.
Even your beloved Lili is better than ever. She's
oh, really? Has she been changed?
No, she's just got a great position right now in the meta. She has. Certain builds that just make her just incredibly valuable in fights and stuff. She's awesome.
Creator of the Abomination.
I want to make out with her.
So,
just kidding. She's a kid.
What is she? Yeah, she's very young. That's creepy, Scott. So doesn't he have like? Doesn't he summon dead versions of the characters like they showed in the trailer? Or is that new skins for those characters?
I do not believe that he does any of that. They've left that to Zul, basically. So he doesn't really do the undead stuff like he does in the more scourge-based world of Warcraft.
Okay, so let's see what happens. And those are so they're skins, those characters, right?
Yeah. He's a mage technically. Which is like Jaina and Chromie, Li Ming, those types. Spell power matters, that kind of stuff.
Zagara, all right, so let's see.
And of course,
Death Knight Sonya. Look at that Death Knight Sonya.
Yeah, she looks really good. Yeah. I mean, both Sonyas look good already.
Yeah. But. Not sure how I feel about this Dreadlord Jaina stuff.
In addition to all the cool content coming with this Call of
Duty
event.
She's here to help.
Yeah. We've also got a special event quest for you.
Ooh,
that quest is called Obey the Call. This quest will run for the duration of the event, and by harvesting the souls of your defeated enemies, you'll be able to unlock some cool rewards like portraits and sprays, and ultimately the awesome Naxxramas Warcrest banner.
Okay.
So, before I go, I want to leave you guys with one last thing.
That's it?
We regularly get asked what it takes to bring a hero into this game.
Gotta be a map. Come on.
And so we figured with Kel'Thuzad being the most requested hero ever, that there'd be no better time than now to show you guys. So starting with the development process of Kel'Thuzad, we actually recorded a massive amount of footage. This is both within the development team and around the company.
I always like the behind-the-scenes stuff.
And we assembled that footage into a multi-part documentary
that
we're
going to
be releasing next week called... Resurrecting Kel'Thuzad.
So they're going to have a documentary about the creation of that character. That's I'm into it. I mean, I understand this is not.
We're going to start with the first part next week, and I've brought a trailer along for you guys to check out right now.
So here's a trailer. Let's see what we get.
But yeah, it's not a new map. All right, let's see that trailer. It's a making of, so not a lot of people are.
One of the amazing things about all Blizzard games is the credits always start with game designed by Blizzard Entertainment.
It takes a Blizzard to make a Blizzard game. And I think that's true on, you know, any individual game. It's true on World of Warcraft. It's true on Overwatch. It's true on Heroes. And it's certainly true on Kel'Thuzad.
Hundreds of people have worked on some form of Kel'Thuzad over the 20 years this character's been in existence.
This is the hero that, since joining the team, I've wanted to do the most. So I'm super excited to finally be bringing Kel'Thuzad to the game.
The players have been asking for this hero forever.
We knew ahead of time this was a hugely requested character by the fans.
Where's KT? Where's Kel'Thuzad? Give me KT.
Has there been an uproar like asking for Kel'Thuzad in Heroes?
The last time we had a chance to work on him was in Warcraft 3, and everybody's very, very excited to bring him back in a big way and into the Nexus.
I can't wait to see what the Heroes team reimagines Kel'Thuzad as for Heroes of the Storm.
Feels good. This feels really good. Yep.
Oh, we talked to him.
Archlich of Naxxramas.
Esteemed Lich Lord of the Plague Lands.
Commander of the Dread Necropolis.
Master and founder of the Cult of the Damned.
Formerly of the Council of Six.
Creator of the Abomination.
Summoner of Achaemond the Defiler.
Betrayer of humanity.
Hearthstone enthusiast.
Majordomo to the Lich King.
Kel'Thuzad is an iconic Warcraft villain, and it's incredibly important that we do justice to that character, and we can't screw this up.
Say something.
I'll have to trust you on that one.
Ooh, I like that guy.
Okay, 5-episode series.
That's cool. I'll watch that. Sure.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, because I always love the behind the scenes developer stuff that tells you how they do the things they do. But yeah, that's probably not.
And if you're not, something that everyone is going to be excited about next week on the PTR. The Lich is finally arrived to the Nexus. Thank you very much. And now let's
I can't
hear from
imagine
the World
how much
team.
Work this has been to put together for the European team. My former colleagues.
Yeah. I don't want to think about it.
I remember working on putting together those things
it's an honor
for years, and they
the
were
Warcraft
like
team.
Half the size
Two
and half
ago,
the ambition, and
stage,
it's really become it's a tiny,
Legion
tiny BlizzCon style presentation
time,
here happening now. And but look at the crowd; it's incredible in the size of the stage and the booth.
In the face of this existential threat.
Man,
I'm so glad I'm not doing that.
Yeah, this is like BlizzCon Jr., really. I mean, they go crazy here now.
Of what lies ahead.
By the way, he was almost at Nerdtacular, you know, like a second away from it.
Mm.
He, last minute, something came out and couldn't come. But.
Next, well, I was going to say next year, but now it makes me want to cry.
Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what's going on.
So, yeah, this is World of Warcraft now. If you're listening, they're having they're going to be talking about 7.3. I don't think we're going to be seeing anything about the next expansion. It's way too early when they still have a lot of content in 7.3.
Do you think there's anything to surprise us with here? Do you think anything at all? Okay.
All right. My for a couple of reasons. First of all, because I don't think there's anything to surprise us at all in at this stage. And second, if there was, they would have left it for last or first. But first or last are the big pushes, communications wise.
Journey to Argus.
It's still exciting. I mean, the 7.3 is really exciting for WoW fans. But
have you noticed? Have you noticed that the task, not the Tassadar, what's it called? Their ship.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, is that Tyrallian?
Yeah, he's badass in this.
Every demon we slay here dies their final
listen to Liam. That's Liam O'Brien talking to me.
Every demon we slay here dies its last death.
What is the name of the ship, of Prophet Velen's ship? What's it called?
Oh, the Exodus?
The Exodar.
Exodar. But that's not what you use to go there. It's another one.
No, it's another one. But do you notice that the Exodar and all the ships that are from those guys, they don't know how to land right. They always create a giant crater and get stuck in the ground. They're terrible landing ships.
we make our stand. The last battle for Argus.
The last battle for Argus.
Argus.
Shadows of Argus. Yeah, that's going to be cool. I'll be playing this.
So, yes. At 7.3.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. 7.3 is high on my list of exciting moments.
To take players to the world of Argus. That trailer showed you.
Yeah, we almost had Ian. That would have been really fun to have him.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to take a few minutes to go over.
I remember when he was a mere lead encounter designer.
This is a major content update.
And he showed up at Gamescom and did interviews and indeed
the fate of all worlds hangs in the balance.
Were you his PR?
Well, we didn't have like assigned PR people. We rotated, but yeah, I did a bunch of interviews. We went to community discussions that weren't like even public, but like meetings with raid guilds to get their feedback and guess, you know, to discuss what they were finding interesting, difficult, all of this with raiding, like competitive raiding guilds, and so yeah, it wasn't like one person per.
First off,
so rumor is Tuesday we might get this. He's not saying anything about that, but or maybe they will. If you look up in the sky, so that could be your big surprise. You know?
Yeah, the release date. It's very possible. This Tuesday or next. I mean, we're getting there. We're getting to the point where they're going to be releasing it, and I suspect that we're going to get that, and then it leaves way enough time for them to introduce the next expansion at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah,
we might get another small patch afterwards, but so then that would mean the next expansion's beta could start
was the birthplace of the Eridon.
Early next year, maybe even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Place where maybe early next year. And it would still be a significant amount of time between the last content patch for this expansion and the release of the next expansion, because the beta is going to be, you know, at least 6 to 9 months. But but yeah, Akamon, it's possible. Jaden,
yeah. Well,
I mean, they have to start talking about the next expansion soon.
So. But Velen,
no doubt about it.
And he and his followers.
And if they don't do it at BlizzCon, I mean, they have to. BlizzCon has to be it.
Oh, yeah, they have to.
That'd be super weird.
I would be very, very surprised if they didn't talk about that.
That place where it all began. And even as we fight the Legion, we're also going to be able to learn a lot more about
this. This feels like a wow Q&A at BlizzCon a little bit.
Of course,
not that that's bad. In their absence, I'm having deja vu for that.
Fell energy, and it now stands.
So these people are there. The Legion, the center. Do they all know English as a second language? So there, is this all coming over just fine, or what?
Yeah, I think they wouldn't be there if they didn't.
Now the world itself. Let's talk a little bit about the places
you'll
be visiting.
It's, sometimes you try to do stuff in German as well, because obviously you want to the local population to be able to understand it. But these things, I mean, it's important to have the crowds there. They do have German version on one of the monitors, on one of the big screens sometimes, but it's not translating live what the guys are saying, so the trailers and things like that probably have the text is probably in German or subtitles for some of it on one of the screens. But this is mostly, I mean, again, it's important to have the crowds there, but it's mostly a public live streaming thing now.
Warriors in service of the light.
It's not the most people who are going to be watching this are by far people watching online and reporting on it.
We might hope to stand a chance against their.
Oh man, Illidan is huge right now.
Of course, there are also major strongholds.
My gosh,
he's eating his new peas and spinach.
Stronger demons than we've ever faced.
He's a tiny little dude in Heroes, comparatively. On Azeroth, I guess everyone.
Well, even the model in game is not that big. Like he was 12 feet tall
and more.
Ah, and you can see Azeroth in the background.
Players will move on to the second area known as Makkari, the Jewel of Argus.
So he's just describing every area for the new Argus zone for the patch.
Right.
If you're not into WoW, this is snooze fest time.
Yeah, for sure. Why is Argus so close? I don't understand the point of it being so close.
Oh, that's because at the end of 7.2, when you you and kill Sargeras or the avatar of Sargeras, you're transported to Argus, and or like there's the wormhole that opens and you get back, but then Illidan leaves the wormhole open for you to be able to go back to Argus. And I can't remember if you already go to Argus or if you... I haven't done the entire raid, so I can't remember if you already go there or if it opens the wormhole and then Velen is like, and Khadgar are like, dude, quick, let's escape and close the wormhole. And Illidan is like, yeah, sure, no problem. And you escape and then you turn around and you're like, dude, the wormhole's still open. And Illidan is like, yeah, because we're going there and we're finishing this and we're killing all the demons, or rather, we will be destroying all the demons.
So help me understand, but the proximity part is what's weird.
Oh, it's a portal. It's a portal. It's not like you can see a kind of wormhole thing where you can see through it, but it's not actually being teleported. It's just that you can see through the giant, like, portal wormhole opening thing in space.
Now let's talk okay. about that explains the it then. Because there should be some... All my space nerd alarms went off. I'm like, wait, this thing would...
You're worried about gravity?
Yeah, like a gravitational
clearly,
anomaly.
Scott, the wormhole allows you to go through, but not the gravity rays. Not the gravitons. They don't go through the wormhole. That's pretty obvious. Otherwise, that wouldn't make sense, Scott. Yeah, that would be just silly. You can also
recover equipment and power sources. What was I thinking? Unlock
additional. I don't know. What were you thinking? Things will aid you as you find the ground. As well, yeah, filling time here.
Now I'm gonna put this up. This audio that we're doing right now end up on the instance feed.
Sure.
And obviously, everybody, when the dust has settled and I'm back from my anniversary trip, we'll dissect anything that we weren't able to cover here. But for the most part, I feel like this is stuff we knew. Coming into this, right?
Most of this we've discussed in previous episodes of the instance. They are showing, for example, the customization of the relic slots on the artifact weapons, and we've already discussed all of this. So this is just describing the contents of patch 7.3, which has been on the PTR for a while, so we already know all about this. There's nothing new.
Yeah, and could literally be out Tuesday if the rumors be believed. Yeah. My experience has been whenever they let the leads go and do talky stuff like this, that they're really close to being done. This happened with Diablo 4 and 4. Sorry, the Necromancer. Where kind of similar to the invasions that kicked off. In fact, it was because we'll deal with environmental hazards. He came to Nerdtacular and I was like, wait, don't you have a game to finish? And it was that week they put it out. As we earn great loot and currency that we value. There's a lot of green people. Look at all that green.
Well,
Fel Magic.
Exactly. Fel Magic has invaded, Fel Corruption has invaded the, wow, the portal must be pretty long if you can see it that well.
Well, are you sure that it's not just, the world wasn't just brought up close or something?
Well, I don't think so, but now I'm having doubts. And in that case, your issue with the, physics and gravity become well-founded. And
here today, yeah, I've played Universe Sandbox 2 a lot, and I know what happens when you start putting balls next to each other. Take a look. Oh, what do we have here? Peggy 12. Let's do it. It's... All you 12 and unders, hang up. Don't watch this.
All right.
Forces are on board and accounted for. The Vindicar will be ready to depart shortly.
Ooh, he's
the Vindicar. After we reach Argus,
we will meet with the Army of the Light and begin our invasion.
All right, here we go. Ooh, Illidan. My lipstick is dry.
Does he understand what you're truly asking of him?
Dude, Liam.
Do any of them?
So cool.
We follow the path of the light. No matter where it leads. Your faith has always been your weakness. When your closest allies fell to darkness, you didn't stop them. When the Legion swept over your world and took your people, you didn't make a stand. All you did was watch.
convinced you were following the light's will. The truth is, you failed your people. Their blood is on your hands.
That's a nice pep talk.
You will never understand what I did.
We are both purple.
To save my people.
To save the my purple. I mean my people. Back.
It's time to forge your own path. Prophet, we are ready. Proceed.
Sweet, dude. Look at that dumb-looking ship. Come a long way from the cutscenes they used to put in the game. Protoss.
Where is your army of the light?
Oh, now it's going to appear. And Illidan is going to go.
Oh. I understand.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Something is wrong.
Who's this?
Bring them down!
Is that Argus? Oh, the avatar of Argus?
Yeah.
Because we fight him. We fight a version of him. No.
The Legion will fire again soon! What are your orders, Prophet? We make our stand! The last battle for Argus has begun.
It's so cheesy. I love it. I love the cheese. More cheese, please. Oh, 829.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So next Tuesday.
Yep.
Have 7.3, Shadows of Argus, and you will be on Argus this time 1 week from now. Coming out beginning August 29th in North America and rolling to other regions.
Dude, he is a bouncy stage guy.
Can't wait to share this with you. It's been a labor of love for the team, and it's going to be an epic
I love
journey.
How he bounces around.
Thank you all so much. And next up, I'm excited to introduce the Overwatch team.
Okay, here comes...
Ooh, the Overwatch team.
Yeah.
Ooh, look how excited people are now.
Yeah, Overwatch. That might be the... might be the greatest Crony Hatch's Phoenix Rising from Dead story ever told in video games.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. Yep. I'm Chaco Sonny from the Overwatch team. Now,
Chaco Sonny is a cool name.
We celebrated the anniversary.
Sounds like a singer's name.
And within that year,
it does.
Thanks to all of you, the players.
So we still have over half an hour.
30 million players.
Stream
now,
of streaming, and
thank you
the only two games that are left are basically after Overwatch, StarCraft, which I don't think they're going to be talking about, and Diablo, which I don't think they're going to be talking about. So that means we might have half an hour of Overwatch, which could mean a lot of announcements.
Thank you for your
it could be.
Unbridled feedback.
It could rehash what we were just told with Junkertown and all that.
Oh, they're going to do that, but that's not going to take half an hour, is it?
To inspire us
I wouldn't
to
think so.
And expand the Overwatch universe.
I mean, we know we're going to get a cinematic short, right?
Which is why we're so excited to share with you guys some of what we've been working on.
Okay.
Ooh, some of what we've been working on.
Now, some of you may have read on the internet, or maybe you saw our official announcement
Junkertown,
on Monday
we know
night
about that.
Of this brand new map.
Apparently that... So did that get leaked? That's what they all keep saying has got leaked.
Is an
and then
no, it wasn't leaked. It was revealed on...
it is set
I mean, it was
Australia
public on the official...
wreckage of a destroyed Omnium.
YouTube page and Twitter and everything. It was a that wasn't a leak. It was a coordinated review
set up to churn out comics, and it showcases.
That's how I flash people in the park.
Junkers,
coordinated reveal every time.
Scavengers who pick through it looking for anything.
Chat room, how you guys doing?
Also, if you're a fan of our favorite Junker duo, Junkrat and Roadhog,
someone says, "I love speculating on the next 30 minutes."
So you should be able to find a bunch of cool things.
Wow, people, there's some
about them
Velen hate in the chat.
Now, this
really? What's wrong with Velen?
Yeah. H. Hooven 4 says Velen is garbage.
Chance to check it out. Sheesh. Here.
Why?
If not, we're looking forward to be able to make this available Velen
is fine. He's a wise old man who sacrificed his son to the Legion.
So now, what you guys are all waiting for.
Oh, okay. So now is what we've been waiting for.
To introduce the next Overwatch animated short.
Please
join me in welcoming to the stage Ben Dye, project director for Blizzard Animation.
All right. Ben Dye, come on out. Let's see what you got, buddy. Oh, he's a little guy.
Maybe Chucky Sonny was really tall.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ben Dye. I'm the director for the upcoming animated shorts. I'm sure all you guys are waiting to see who our next character is.
Ooh.
Well, Overwatch is made up of a group of very diverse heroes. We have soldiers, scientists,
like his shirt,
adventurers, and oddities. In our animated shorts, we already explore many, many of the stories, including a soldier, a couple of adventurers, and plenty of oddities. But we haven't really touched upon the scientist group yet. Science.
We have Winston.
Science is the key feature of all how these heroes solve their problems and overcome the challenges in their environment.
He's an ape.
Creativity and the ability to think through their problems are the key for these heroes.
You know the easiest way to know which one is
on behalf of everyone from
monkeys?
Story and franchise development, I'm very, very happy and excited to share with you our latest animated shorts starring our favorite climatologist, May.
Oh, it's a short about May. Okay.
Oh,
it's not.
Gotta be kind.
It's our world premiere, and we call this one Rise and Shine. Enjoy, everybody.
Oh, here it is. I'll ask you after this video here. Let's see what we get. Peggy, 12. Peggy, 13. Well, there's May.
We're still in the middle of this massive ice storm. It's crazy. We missed our resupply window, and we're low on rations. So, Captain O'Para is having the team hibernate.
Come on, May. Cryo chamber time.
Already?
An hour ago.
Be right there.
Snowball, give me my socks back.
I'm leaving the sensors on, so when we wake up, I'll have a whole new data set to examine.
May, you're holding up nap time.
Sorry. Bye. Con fever whenever
you're around. So this is the map, the Antarctica map where we can actually play.
Well, she's put in cryostasis, as the story goes. Oh, so much time has passed, Patrick.
Looks like about 80 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's gotta be May.
Oh, but all of her friends are dead?
Oh, wow. Is that what that means? That's kind of far.
Yeah.
Dark, man.
It's
Chinese, I guess.
Get up, Snowball.
Oh, it's Snowball.
No.
I didn't know what had a name.
Shine, sleepy head.
You don't have a name?
Yeah, and he has a Summer Games shirt.
Is this where she learns how to be a troll? Where she freezes and shoots him in the head with a spike? Is that when this happens?
The atmospheric fluctuations above the anomaly have gotten... It's much worse than we predicted. We have to get this to headquarters.
Yeah, but...
Where is all this data coming from?
What if...
Snowball, how long have we all been asleep?
What about your dead friends?
What? No! Overwatch would have come for us.
Nice.
The comms are down?
Yes. Lyle Snub says, May is the true protagonist of Fallout 4.
Nobody even knows we're here.
She's in Vault 100.
Wait a minute. Where is everybody?
Now she realizes.
We're slow, are we, May? that's kind of sad. Oh, jeez.
No, 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 no.
It's kind of hardcore. But they made it cute again because the little snowball guy came out.
Everyone's dead. It's fine.
My years worth of data.
That is a cool. I want a USB stick. Looks like that.
I'll take her work to the world, my friends. I mean, I will try.
Seems unstable.
The dish is broken. How do I get this data out?
Nothing's working.
This place is real punk, man. Whoa, it's the wall, north of the wall. Look out.
No, this is roughly what the outside of my door looks like. If you need to.
January here. Oh, she misses those people.
I can't do this alone. I wish you guys were here.
Look at all those scientists.
Thank you, Snowball. At least
look Murloc? How diverse you. They are.
That's a Murloc mug.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see if we can make the batteries last a little longer. This is broadcasting on the Overwatch emergency frequency. Maybe someone knows we're here. If I could just...
Come on, you're a science girl. You could do
it. Come on, Snowball. We're not on ice yet.
Oh, she's got a MacGyver contraption to make everything work.
Just totally get a MacGyver in.
Oh, it's her ice gun.
All she needs is another tank.
No. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Is she gonna use the little energy from Snowball?
That was the last battery, wasn't it? I can't believe I forgot about the batteries. Without power, we're dead.
Look.
Look, Snowball. Use your robot.
Just need a little more time.
Just plug his little bum in, and you've got your power.
And that's why she has it with him, with her all the time in the on the laptop.
Oh yeah, perfect. I just happened to have an interface that worked.
She's a scientist, Scott.
The power.
Oh, look at that! Snowball. It's like Linux.
What?
Oh, Snowball, you've sacrificed yourself.
Snowball, you can't.
But now you can get out of here and recharge him. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know he's okay.
But she doesn't. And that's not an easy couple of days there for me. I got it the first time.
All right. Sure, you got that?
Wow.
So we're not going to get, like...
Come on, come on, come on.
Oh,
Oh, there it is.
Wasted? Oh my gosh! Come on!
People decided they were better off without us. They even called us criminals. They tore our family apart.
That's the...
But look around!
The Winston cinematic.
Someone has to do something!
Yeah.
We have to do something! We can make a difference again.
He initiates
the world recall. Needs us now, more than ever.
I don't have a tail. I have an egg.
Are you with me?
Yes, Winston.
Yes, Winston. I am with you.
How do you get back, though?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Oh, I guess she could transmit the signal thing.
She is into some coffee, man. Oh, she made coffee for everybody.
Yeah, for everyone who's dead.
Oh, that's sweet. So she just treks it out there. Yeah, parts of Utah in January look like that, yes. Cat room. All of Finland looks like this.
Wow. She is badass. Ah, wait, solar energy little
snowball. Hey.
Yeah, look, it's renewable energy. Nobody shot anybody. I'm a little surprised there was no shooting action. There usually is something.
Oh, it's okay. Snowball's okay.
Snowball's okay.
So much science inspiration.
Oh, and they have snow falling on the stage.
Thank you guys much for all of your love and support.
It's not yellow, though.
We really appreciate it, and we hope to see everybody online
these kinds of things
very soon.
Are...
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Oh, so it's not the last thing. All right.
Nope.
Interesting. So these kinds of things, you know, getting snow to fall on the stage, it seems like a little nothing. But when you actually have to put it together and you know the events team is working on finding
amazing.
A...
Honestly,
oh, that's it. All right. It was the last thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's our good friend, Terpster the Terpster Terpster.
Right?
Looks like he's lost 25 pounds.
Since it was so amazing. No, but everything. Everything we just
something
saw.
Something happened. Terpster went on a diet.
He started working with Lizard.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that'll make you lose weight for sure.
Let's
see what Patrick says. See what he says. See what Terpster says. We can get a line out of him here.
Preview of how they're able to design him coming up as well. I was really surprised about that. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, at the Hearthstone.
Oh, there's a girl.
Hearthstone. That was so heartwarming.
So, so cool. And let's not forget,
works for Blizzard
World
now,
of Warcraft
so.
Shadows of Argus is going to be available
there you go.
Next
oh, wow.
Week.
He has got lost
what?
Weight. Jeez.
What?
Yeah, really
yeah actually, that
down.
Took all of us by surprise.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone like expects to come out like that mm-hmm. soon.
I have a tournament
he told me he
next
was
week,
on
but
a
if
no,
I could
a
just cancel
low sugar
that,
diet,
that'd be,
this is
I think they will understand.
Do it.
I mean,
you will.
Guys,
it's going to be fine.
No,
but honestly, some amazing videos, some great information on the stage, and we still have three more games.
TVZ Gun wants to know if Terpster is going to talk about his wing. Probably. Probably. But Patrick, I guess that's
all right.
It.
Well, yeah, I think that's even got a little bit of Terpster sighting. That's amazing, very exciting.
Are you a little bummed out that there's zero Diablo talk, zero, you know, StarCraft other projects type talk, no mobile talk, like all that
no,
stuff? Got
I mean, yeah, StarCraft, not really. I'm not a big StarCraft person. Mobile, I think we're going to see. They did mention during an investor's call that they have. They talked about that. How's it called? The incubator that they're working on multiple games experiences. That was interesting. Experiences, IPs, and they're looking at different platforms, including mobile. So maybe we could have gotten something, but you know, it's not going to be the thing I'm looking forward to the most. Diablo. I wouldn't have thought we would have gotten something. There was a meager possibility, but if we get something, it might be at BlizzCon. So yeah. No, it's fine. It's not the best Gamescom reveal ever. It was okay because sure. we're Blizzard nuts. I think anyone else doesn't really care.
Yeah, I think yeah. Like, if you're a WoW fan, you're stoked about 7.3. If you are...
Yeah, but you were already stoked. I mean, it's not like in this presentation, it doesn't necessarily make you more stoked. about 7.3, right?
That didn't... Honestly, the highlight is probably the Hearthstone cinematic, if I'm being honest. I think that was really good.
Yeah.
As much as it's like a little odd and tonally, I don't know what to kind of make of it yet, but I thought it was extremely well made and got me excited about Hearthstone. They're making Hearthstone feel like Christmas or something. Mm-hmm. It's weird to feel
that
way.
That's a good way of explaining it. It does.
Yeah.
And the girl is dressed in like red, almost like Santa Claus. No, I agree. I think it's important industry-wise because it means that from a strategy point of view for Blizzard and for that game specifically, because it's not just a cinematic for a game, it's a change in strategy for that game and where it's going forward. There's a focus on the IP that is a lot more important than what has been in the past. So, and it's very well done. I'm really curious to see how it affects. Basically, it's a marketing tool. It's acquisition. It's even going to get some people who might have stopped playing before to check it out again. But mostly, I think this is geared at messaging Hearthstone as something more, even more wide-reaching. And I stand by what I said earlier, which is they've exhausted their methods of acquisition, or not exhausted, but used a lot of their methods of acquisition for this game over the past 3 or 4 years. And now in order to get more people, they need to go hunt for a different type of gamer. And I think that might be achieving that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Fascinating. It's interesting. It just felt like today was more of a showcase for animation and tone and less about game stuff. And not that we should expect big game announcements every time Blizzard does anything, but they've got BlizzCon literally in like 2 months.
Yeah. Well, so, that doesn't mean they have announced big stuff at Gamescom before. It's just,
it wasn't, but it's usually strategic. Like, it made sense for them to do Legion there because we were in the very waning days of Warlords and it was a bummer there. So it was time to like get people stoked for something and then give full reveals 2 months later. In that case, Legion's going strong. There's really no reason not to keep loving on it, you know. So Warcraft was kind of out of the running, and they've already spilled the beans, like Junkertown and all that stuff. Maybe they could have saved that for this, and it would have been a bigger deal. I don't know.
I think so. I think it would have been interesting to leave the Junker, like to have two reveals. I mean, two cinematics for the thing. It would have been possible. It gives a little bit more of a spotlight to Junkertown if you do it before the actual live stream. Conspiracy theory, and I think we'll end on that. Conspiracy theory, the stream was supposed to be an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. And it ended up being just 55 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible that there was something else planned that was canceled in the last few days or weeks. I mean, we won't know, but
entirely possible, right?
I would say that kind of thing is usually pretty well timed. And if you have 20 minutes planned and they end up being just 55 minutes used, there's something that might have, been cut. But anyway, it doesn't really matter.
It's entirely possible. If you had to guess, just real quick, guess what thing you think got caught. If anything got cut, not caught, cut.
Huh. If anything got cut.
What do you think it was?
Wow.
I think there's a new map in the works for Heroes and they aren't ready.
But you can still show it and then say it's going to be coming out soon. It might be a new IP announcement, a new game that would be big, but I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? The theories will certainly fly. But this has been a lot of fun, Patrick. I've enjoyed myself hanging out with you.
I have enjoyed myself as well. I was going to look for a disparaging joke here, but I'm not going to.
You've always got one at the ready. It's fine. It's fine.
How about you tell people where they can find you on the internet?
All right. So if you're looking for more of me, frogpants.com. There's all the things I do there. I'm taking a very brief vacation for my anniversary, and normally there would be tons of content every day, 6 days.
No, sorry. I mean, how many years anniversary?
Do you want to know how many years I've been married? Do you really want to know? Yes, it's going to freak you out.
I'm single-handedly keeping good marriage statistics in check by being married to the same woman for 25 years. So 25 Jeez. Years. Yeah, I know.
25.
Yeah.
Did you get married when you were like 12?
I was 20. Hold on. 20. What would I have been? 22, 23.
Wow.
Almost 23 is what I was.
Was Kim the first Very woman young. You ever went out with?
No.
Oh.
But she is Let's the first honest. One I she's the first one I married and stayed married to. Okay. So 25 years, boom, and we're gonna take a little time That's out. Amazing. So normally there's tons of content coming out of there, but check it out. Go sub to shows, that kind of stuff. There is a few other things happening, including a chunk of this audio I'll put up in the instance feed this week since we're not gonna have a show on Friday. Cool. And other things. So follow me on Twitter too, at Scott Johnson. And thanks for having me on Pixels, Patrick.
Excellent. It's always a good time. Thank you for being on. I am Not Patrick on Twitter and on Facebook. You can find me there. You can also find this show and others at FrenchSpin.com and FrenchSpin.fr if you're into French language. And that's going to be it for us. We will be back in about a couple of weeks with the next episode of Pixels. Talk to you then.
Bye, everyone.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.